the third mission in the fifth parish. It's a small one. Short here today. It's one that involves some major problems among the Rishonim. And it's one which is sort of self-understood among the masses. Massive people don't have any problem with it. The Rishonim have big problems with it. It's a difficult area, and we'll try our best, to go through some of the sheets. It's not easy because the way that everybody understands it seems very simple, and yet the Rishonim, especially the Rambam, had great difficulties with the concept. Mishnah says, "Asur nisyonos nisnasa avram avina." V'omad deku. 10 nisyonos Avram Avinu faced, and he was successful in all of them. Lodia kamachi baso shel Avram Avinu ol Hashem. Okay. Now the first question that strikes a person in with regard to this mission is, what is a nisayon? What is the definition of a nisayon? What is a nisayon? And this is something which to the average person seems to be a very very simple thing. It's in the science, a test to see whether a person is truly going in the Derech HaYasha or not. So it seems like a very simple idea. Most people don't even question the idea. It seems like a self-understood concept. That a person who is a tzaddik, God tests him to see the extent of his tzitzis, and like the most famous sign of Avraham Avinu, the Akedah, to see to what extent his Avas Hashem, exists. What is the nature of his Avas Hashem? How far will he go? Kachno, Binchor, Shechitko, Sherehavto, that's Yitzchak. You know, because I'll say that in every word, Bincha, I have two bonim, Yechidcha, this is, he's a Yachid for, they're both Yechidim, Asher Ahavta, I love both of them, it's Yitzcha. So, Litein Schara called Dibur V'Dibur. So, God wanted to give Avraham Avinu Schara, and every step that his emotions drew nearer to Yitzcha, he received the reward for. So, same thing the Pasuk says, Lech Lecha Me'atzecha Me'maladetzecha Me'zeisavicha. So, Rashi is also, Litin Schar Kol Dibvadi, because every point was another emotional difficulty. Atzecha Me'maladetzecha, you're born in Beisavicha. So, it seems to every person that there's no difficulty. Most people don't find any difficulty in understanding the idea of a Nisoyon. What is a Nisoyon? When God tests a person. But the Rishonim found great difficulties, especially the Rambam. But all the Rishonim found a difficulty in the idea of a Nisayon. What is a Nisayon? Okay. Now, there are basically three views among the Rishonim. Sadi Gaon says in his chapter on merit and demerit, he says that I find that the sufferings to which the virtuous are subjected in this world fall into two categories. One of these constitutes the penalties for slight failings, as I've explained previously. But the second consists, chapter 3, okay? And this is in the Yale translation, it's the page 213. He says like this. He says, the second consists of incipient trials with which God tests them when he knows that they are able to endure them. Only in order to compensate them for these trials later on with good. Okay, so the Pasuk says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Everyone seems to agree that the idea of a Nisayon is only for a very righteous person on a high level. That seems to be universal. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu only brings Nisayonos on people who are on a very high level. Naturally, as a natural consequence, most people in their lives, whenever they have some difficulty, they say it's in the science. Well, in the science, yeah. Renaissance, yeah. He says, it is not, however, his wont to act in this fashion with him who cannot bear these trials, since there will be no benefit therein. Okay, for the whole purpose of the suffering of the upright is that the rest of God's creatures might know that he has not chosen the former for nothing. Okay? He says, then he goes on, he seems, you see, over here he seems to be saying two different things. Of course, you see, over here he says the whole purpose of suffering of the upright is that the rest of God's creatures might know that he has not chosen the former for nothing. So here he seems to be saying that the reason for the Nisayon is for others. Okay? This is known to be from the case of Job and his suffering. Hence, if the pain to which the servant of God is subjected constitutes punishment... Okay, this is a separate thing, yes? Okay. Then it's like this. I will go still further and say that it is even possible for a completely guiltless individual to be subjected to trials in order to be compensated for them afterwards. For I find that children are made to suffer pain, and I have no doubt that their eventual about their eventual compensation for these sufferings. The sorrows brought upon them by the All-Wise might therefore be compared to the discipline that their father might administer to them in order to keep them from harm, or to the repulsive bitter medicines that he might make them drink in order to put an end to their illness. Thus it is stated in the Torah, and thou shalt consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Alright? Scripture also says, in regard to such matters, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son, in whom he delighteth. Okay. Alright. So, then, that's basically the view of Sajigun. But Sajigun says it's not clear, because he doesn't seem to say, he's not clear as to whether, but he does state the idea that God could bring an Nisayon on a person, put a person through a difficult period in order to increase his reward. That's what Sajigun says. So, yeah, I mean, at least certainly according to the second shot, that it seems to be a situation where it's like the child with the medicine. That in order for the person to rise to a higher level, so God gives him a difficult situation, and then through the fact that he's successful in this difficult situation, he rewards him. He receives a higher reward. How it works, I mean, Sajigayan doesn't seem to clarify, except if you use his mushal of the child, which would seem to be the case of the child means that a person could be a tzaddik and he needs a certain difficult situation which in order to cause him to make him reach a higher level. He has to live through a bitter situation. That's what he means by God rewarding him. He doesn't mean God rewarding him that God punishes him in order to reward him later. But he means that a person could be on a certain level, and now he needs the medicine. Mm-hmm. So the pain of the situation that befalls him is one which, through his working it out, he's able to correct the defect in his soul and to rise to a higher level. That's the way. That's what Sajigayan seems to say. Okay. No, so that's why Sajigayan says that God wouldn't do this to a lower level person because he knows he can't, he's not going to be able to, what? Oh, give him an easier Nisayon. Yeah. Why only appoint the Sajigayan with a higher level person, yes? You mean he's not Roy for it. He's not Roy for this. Yeah. In other words, the average person doesn't need an Nisayon. The average person doesn't need an Nisayon because the mitzvahs of Torah, the mitzvahs of Torah themselves are enough. The mitzvahs of Torah themselves are enough. So what does he need Nisayon for? But a person who has reached a very high level where the mitzvahs of Torah already are to him, he has accomplished the mitzvahs of Torah. And now it's a question of a very special situation where he has to rise to a higher level. And therefore the Nisayon is one which will be able to bring him to that level through living through the difficulties. Yes. Ramban says something which is perhaps similar, but he says like this. He says, on the Pasuk for Elokim Nisos Avram, Inyan HaNisoyon Hu L'Daiti Bavur HaYos Maisa Odom Rishus Mochletes B'Yodo Im Yirtzi Yasef Im Lo Yirtzi Lo Yasef Yikori Nisoyon Mitzar HaMenuzah. What exactly he means over here is not too clear. I mean, it says, since a person has a free will to do or not to do, so therefore it's considered a Nisoyon on behalf of the one that's being proved. He says, Aval HaMenase Yisbarach. He says, God, who is the Menasa, Yitzava Bo Lahotzi Adavim Menakoach HaLapol. He says, God wants to take the thing from its potentiality to its actuality. Lios lo schar maisa tov, lo schar leif tov bilvad. So he says, in other words, the tzaddik is in a state of leif tov before the nisayon, but after the nisayon, he's in the status of maisa tov. He actualizes the good. So the nisayon is something which takes a tzaddik from the state of potentiality to the state of actuality. But before the nisayon, he was potentially good, leftov. But now, after the nisayon, after he lives through this experience, then he becomes an individual who is maisatov. Yes. That's why he says right afterwards. Very good. V'dak ki Hashem tzaddik yivchan. God only tests the righteous. Kishehu yodea b'tzadik sheyaseh retzono v'chofetz lahatzdiko. God knows the tzadik will do his will, and therefore he wants to render him righteous. Yitzava oso b'nisoyon, so therefore he gives him a commandment which involves a nisoyon. V'lo yivchan eser eshoyim asher lo yishmu. He says God will never test the wicked who won't listen anyways. No purpose. All the nisyonos in the Torah are for the purpose of the one who is tested. Exactly what he said. The average troubles that a person has has nothing to do with the nisyon. That's what Ramban says clearly. Even though most people like to think that their troubles are a test. But the Ramban himself says, Ramban and the Sagi going through the same thing, that most troubles that people encounter in life are not nisyanos. It's an interesting thing. It's contrary, the area of this one is very contrary to common opinion on the subject. Most people feel that when they have difficulties that they usually say, God is testing me. Okay? The reason is, of course, it's a very comfortable position because it's not because of an onesh that this is happening to me, you see, because I'm really a tzaddik. Yeah. But it must be that God is testing me to see if I'll be able to pull through this one. If I can pull through this one, then I'll have a great reward. So it's a very comfortable kind of position, psychologically. And most people do think that way. But you see the Rishonim say, Sajigayin also says, but the Ramban especially emphasizes the fact that Nisayon is only for a very unusual, great person. It's something that's initiated by God, and it's a very special event. It doesn't occur often. Okay? It would seem that way. The concept of Yisur and Shalava would be perhaps like a lower level kind of a Nisayon. In the final analysis, a big difference. I'll give you a very simple difference. If it's a real Nisayon, so then the person is going to be successful, like the Ramban says. Ramban says that God only tests those whom he knows are going to be successful. Whereas Soros that a regular person has, you see, I mean, this is not true. The person could, because of the Torah, the person can go away from Hashem, or it's true, it could be a source of causing him to move closer towards Hashem. But it could be either way. It could have either effect. But the reason for the existence of the situation is not because of an Nisayon. It's a Torah. It's a different realm. That's what the Ramban says. So you have two sheikhs, really. You have Sadi Goyen says that he has to, it's a type of situation, like he says, that God brings the suffering on the onto the person in order that he should be rewarded later, like the child, the case of the child in medicine. See, that's the way Sadhguru says. The Ramban is a little different. The Ramban says that when God knows that a person is on a very high level, and it's not a corrective type of thing like Sadhguru, but according to the Ramban, it's a situation that when God knows that a certain tzaddik is on a level of total perfection, and yet, with regard to a certain aspect, a certain type of perfection that he has not been able to express itself fully. It only exists in him in potential. In other words, he only has this perfection on an incomplete manner in terms of human existence. So therefore, God brings an assignment to him, and it causes him to take this perfection one step further and become actualized, which means that Avram Avinu, after the Akedah, was not the same Avram Avinu before the Akedah. That's essentially what the Ramban is saying. You see? Of course, according to Sadhguru, it's going to be the same thing, but Sadhguru is a bit different. The Ramban is just saying, according to Sadhguru Gaon, it's a corrective process. It could be a corrective process. That's the pasuk, which means to say that God brings Yisurim upon a person in order to correct something that's wrong with him. According to the Ramban, it has nothing to do with an imperfection. It's simply if a tzaddik is on a certain level where he's b'tachlus ha-shleimus, the only thing is that in certain aspects of shleimus have not been able to become totally actualized. So then God brings in a soyan, gives him an assoyan, in which case he helps him to actualize a potential perfection that he had before. Okay? Well, before was lev tov, now he's maisa tov. The first way outside the kind of reward is a little bit strange, that God is giving him a chance, an opportunity to have reward because he's going to go through this pain. But then he seems to say also in the same breath that it's for other people. It's not clear, Sadhguru. Okay. Yeah. That happens to be a good question. Very good question. Excellent question. You'll see. We'll mention that in a second. Let's take a look at the Rambam. See, the Rambam was baffled by the whole idea of a trial. I mean, he's simply baffled. He says the doctrine of trials is open to great objections. And he says it's the most difficult idea, one of the most difficult ideas in the Torah. That's what the Rambam says. Funny thing, the idea of an assignment, which everybody seems to understand so simply, to the Rambam was one of the most difficult things to understand. He says, it is in fact more exposed to objections than any other thing taught in Scripture. Then he goes through it. Mentioned 6 times in the Torah. And he says, people have generally the notion that trials consist in afflictions and mishaps sent by God to man, not as punishment for past sins, but as giving opportunity for great rewards. He says, this principle is not mentioned in the Torah in plain language, and it is only in one of the 6 places referred to that the literal meaning conveys this notion. I will explain the meaning of that passage later on. And the principle taught in Scripture is exactly the reverse, for it is said he is a God of faithfulness, and there is no iniquity in him. The teaching of our sages, although some of them approve this general belief concerning trials, is on the whole against it. For they say there is no death without sin and no affliction without transgression. Ein misa below chet, ein yisurim below avon. So the Rambam says the Sifnat Chazal, which was a universally accepted Chazal on the whole, that there's no such thing as afflictions without a chet. So you can't say that the afflictions are a type of nisayim. It's impossible. Every intelligent religious person should have this faith, and should not ascribe any wrong to God who is far from it. He must not assume that a person is innocent and perfect and does not deserve what has befallen him. Rambam is very much against that idea. You see? The trials mentioned in the Scripture in the 6 passages seem to have been tests and experiments by which God desired to learn the intensity of the faith and the devotion of a man or a nation. If this were the case, it would be very difficult to comprehend the object of the trials. And yet, the sacrifice of Isaac seems to be a case of this kind, as none witnessed it but God and the 2 concerned, Abraham and Isaac. Thus God says to Abraham, for now I know that you fear God. All right, another passage says, for the Lord your God prove it to you to know whether you love. Yeah. So it's seen again, it's a test. And again, and to prove the to know what is in thy heart. He doesn't have the end of the passage. Hasishma mitzvos of him lo. Okay? So you see that it's a test, and that's what you mentioned before. That the you see, the problem, why didn't the Rambam accept the Ramban's pshat? Why didn't the Rambam accept the Ramban's pshat? I mean, the Ramban's pshat is probably the most accepted pshat. Of course, people, it's an idea that sits well with human emotion. That the test brings out different facets of the personality, and it changes him from potentiality to actuality, and he's on a higher level. The Rambam didn't accept it. Why not? For one reason. Your reason. What's the reason? It's not a test. Exactly. The concept, the term Nisoyan, clearly implies a test for the Rambam. According to the Rambam, according to the Pesukim. It seems clear. L'man enoschol enaseoschol, l'das es asher b'vavcho, asishma mitzvosov and lo. Okay? So, an opportunity for growth, yeah. So, according to the Ramban, the Ramban says openly, he only does it to tzaddikim, whom God knows will be able to stand the test. Okay? They will stand the test. Now, the Rambam doesn't accept the Ramban's view because of that reason. If that's the case, it's not really a test. And the Rambam is very upset at anyone that thinks that there is such an idea of a test, because he says in the end, we must not think that God desires to examine us and to try us in order to know what he did not know before. Far is this from him, he is far above that which ignorant and foolish people imagine concerning him and the evil of their thoughts. Note this. The Rambam is very much against the idea that there could actually be a test, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodei HaKol, and it's impossible to conceive of such an idea as a test. You could have a teacher can give a test to a student, but the teacher doesn't know whether he wants to see the extent of the level of the student, so a teacher can give the student a test. But with God, such an idea is impossible. So therefore, the Rambam found it very difficult to assume the Ramban's answer. That Ramban's concept poses one problem. Where is the Nisoyan? Where in fact is the test, if that's the case? Most people, as I said, the Torah, when it uses the word Nisoyan, it seems to say that you can either pass or fail. L'man anoscho l'nasoscho l'das es asher b'lvovcho hasishma mitzvosov im lo. Im lo. It means either or. You can pass or fail. The Pasuk mentions that a few times when it says the word Nisoyan. Not just once. Also by the false prophet. By the false prophet. Where the Torah says if a prophet comes along and performs miracles, and he tells you to go away from God, so he says you should know that God is testing you. L'das ha'yishchem o'avim et ha'ashem o'akechem b'chol avavchem v'chol nafshachem. Ha'yishchem o'avim, do you or do you not? It's a test. The test is one you can pass or you can fail. I mean, it seems pretty clear from the Pesukim that in Nisoyon there are two possibilities, to pass or to fail. And that's why the Rambam, to my mind, the Rambam rejects the Ramban's concept of an assignment. Because the Rambam emphasizes here that point. That's why the Rambam was struck with a dilemma. If it's a test, how is it possible to say a test? Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Yodei HaKol, it's impossible. So what kind of a test is it? So you have a choice. If you're going to tell me, the only thing you could say, the only other possibility is that the person can pass or fail. So why should God bring a person to such a situation where he might pass or fail? I mean, what's the purpose of this? It can't be in order that God should gain knowledge of the extent of his devotion to God. That's impossible. So what is the purpose? What's the purpose of that?
Yeah, Lamana Sana, Yerva Sarasi in low. In low, again, yeah. Lamana Sana. The other person in Dvan. Lamana Sana, first of all, that's the Lovka Sishma, the close of in low. That's in Dvan. That's in Akev. And this is in Bishal. Right. But you see in a few places in Torah that it says, and then again in Dvarim, Alagasi, Ishram, Avashim, Lakari. By the way, the Ramban knew this problem. And that's why he has these few words in the beginning. He says, Inyan Anisoyan Hu Lagdaiti, Bavur Hayos Maise Odom Rishus Mukhletas Biyodo in Yitze Yase, Vim Lo Yitze Lo Yase, Yikore Nisoyan Mitzar Hamanusa. He says it's called an Nisoyan, because relative to the person does have a choice, but in reality it's not a choice. In reality, since everything is in the person's hands, so he does have a choice. So that's why it's called Nisoyan. But in reality, it's not really Nisoyan Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's a difficult answer. You can see why the Rambam simply doesn't accept it. Even though the Ramban's pshat, as I said, is the most widely accepted pshat, I would say. The Ramban's pshat. Ramban says openly, God only does it for tzaddik whom he knows is going to be successful. He says it openly. The term, it's true, the Ramban would say that the Nisayon by the Mon is not the same kind of Nisayon by Ramban. That's for sure. Because over the Yisrael they failed. They see nothing but our burger. But the... Understand that. But the term Nisoyon, Volokin Nisos Avram. Niso has to be the word, it's have the same root, it's have the same idea, it's convey the same meaning. That's what bothers the Ram. Yes? Yeah. Why did the Ram, by the way, reject the other possibility? Besides the going to other possibility? Possibility, the Rambam is very sure that Ein Yisurin below Chet. He's against the idea of the Gemara and Brachas of Yisurin Shalava. What's wrong with that idea? What's really wrong with that? A person, God brings Yisurim on a person because he brings Yisurim to a person in order that the person through the Yisurim should reflect, should learn more about his personality, should improve himself. I mean, this concept. Why doesn't the Rambam, says, not, it's against Chazal. Ein Misa Belo Chet, Ein Yisurim Belo Avon. Okay, why? What's wrong with that idea? What's wrong with that notion, really? What's wrong with that notion? Yes. Ram is definitely making that point. It wouldn't be fair for God to bring suffering to a person that he not sinned. But why can't you say that there's no other way? In other words, God is perfecting a person through these tzaras, in order to raise him to a higher level. Why is the Rambam so against that? The Rambam is very much against that. Why is he against that possibility? It seems to be a logical possibility that a person goes through certain tzaras, and because he goes through those tzaras, he becomes more enlightened about himself, he understands life better, and he raises himself to a higher level, his Avas Hashem is on a different level. Why can't that be? See, I think because the Rambam held something else. The Rambam held people have generally the notion that trials consist in afflictions and mishaps sent by God to man, not as punishments for past sins, but as giving opportunity for great reward. Rambam's aware of that. Chuck. He rejects it completely. He says, if you say that, there's no thinking person who believes in Torah's Moshe should accept such an idea, and that God does not do that. He says, on the whole, Chazal are against it. Okay? You must not assume that a person is innocent and perfect and does not deserve what is before him. Okay? It's a matter of giving him great reward. It's not because he's receiving an honor. What's the reason? Yeah, you're right. Because the Rambam maintains that a person does not need Yisurin in order to rise to a higher level. Doesn't need Yisurin in order to rise to a higher level. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in a way that in order for him to rise to a higher level, he doesn't need any Yisurim. Yisurim is Onshim. That's what Onshim does. Onshim means when a person deviates from his natural road of towards his natural derech of progress, then God gives Onshim. If the person's on a higher level, I mean, Onshim is a wonderful thing. Onshim means that God is specifically singling a person out in order to indicate to him that he kasher yaser ishes b'no at Hashem alokecha miyasreka. That's a tremendous level. If a person receives an onus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a wonderful thing. It means that this person is on a very high level. But God singles him out in order to perfect him, to show him that he's deviating from the path of perfection. It means God wants him to perfect himself. He's asking on a high level. Can't just be a person. But that's a high level. So, but that, the Rambam says, that is when the person deviates. But if a person naturally doesn't deviate, there's no reason for it, because God didn't create man in a way that in order for him to become perfected, he has to suffer. That would be, if a person would say that, he'd be saying something. Because when you're saying that, actually, you're taking away from the God's perfection. That's to say that God makes his, God creates his racham avah kol ma'asav, and God's kelamun of ein avel. It means to say that God does not make a creature in a way that he has to suffer in order to attain something good from him. That's not so. But man can attain the good and perfect himself in a situation of total ease, in which he has no pain. Okay? And the only time pain is introduced, according to the Rambam, is if one of two things. Either the person, it's his own doing. The Rambam holds most pain in life is a person's own doing. He did it to himself. And the only other possibility is certain things which are impossible according to the laws of nature to change, the Rambam maintains, that the certain things are just inherent in creation. There has to be some kind of defect, like the Chazal say that God told the tree to be the tree should have the same taste as the fruit, but it says the earth rebelled. Atotzei Aretz, it says that Eitz Osapri, so not Eitz Pri, Eitz Osapri. So that's something which inherent in creation is impossible. Certain things are impossible. And the Rambam says it's not some certain things which are impossible to occur. That is part of God's chokhmah, that it must be that way. It can't be any other way. That's another kind of situation of pain. And the third kind is where God gives a person a special onesh. A special onesh to indicate to him that he's deviating and to help him to get back on the road to perfection. Only three kinds of pain, according to the Rambam. Painful situations. But in perfection, there's no such thing as a painful situation. That's why the Rambam rejects that other view. Sadi Goyen is saying that view. That's why he gives the example of the medicine for the children. What's the medicine for the children? The child doesn't do anything wrong. But in order for the child to attain health, he has to take medicine. And medicine is painful. So the parent gives the child medicine for the child's benefit. He's saying that's the same way with God. See, but that's what the Rambam rejects. Because that means to say that God created man in a way that he has to go through pain in order to perfect himself. This is the Rambam rejects. You can see the Rambam had a big, that's why the Rambam had a big problem with the idea of Nisayon. It's a very difficult thing. What is the meaning of Nisayon? You mean to say to attain perfection is a painful thing inherently. That's true. But that's because of the nature of man. That's true. But that's because of man's definition of the fact that he is both a malach elokim and he's a behemoth. He's an instinctual creature, and he's also a creature of tzelem elokim. There's a conflict of forces. But that has to do with the very essence of such a creation. That's not an imperfection. That is God's creation. But to say that this creature has to have external pain inflicted upon him in order to perfect him, that would be an imperfection. Okay? Sadi Goyen would answer. What would Sadi Goyen answer to the Rambam? Sadi Goyen is a big philosopher too. Sadi Goyen would say like this. Sadi Goyen would say that it's true in a general way. In a general way, he would agree with the Rambam. That God didn't make a creature that has to have pain inflicted upon him in order to perfect himself. But in certain cases, it would be necessary and that's a Messiah. I would assume that's what Sadi Goyen would say. But the Rambam rejects it outright. You know, there's no such phenomena. And perfection, the road to perfection, has nothing to do with pain. It has to do with the inherent struggle between the Tzelem Elokim and the instinctual forces. There's absolutely no need for any pain. Okay? But most people, the reason why they're disturbed by physical limitations is because of their own imperfection. because of the fact that they're not really after the true good, but they're after what they perceive as the good, and therefore they can't. Therefore, they're disturbed by it. But that's why 99% of the Tzaras Rambam are self-imposed Tzaras. There is a small amount of Tzaras with physical Tzaras that a person can suffer, could be either one of two things, like the Rambam mentions, either because it's inherently impossible or because the person is receiving an onesh, one of the two. That's the Rambam's view. Okay? Now let's see what the Rambam says. Now the Rambam's like this. The Rambam says, I will now remove all difficulties. The Rambam mentions the shita that the Sadi Gaon mentions in passing. He says, by the way, it's a big machlokas Rishonim on this. I mean, the Ibn Ezra, who the Rambam thought so highly of, actually rejects the Rambam's view. And the Rambam wasn't the originator of this view. Sadi Gaon really has the view, but he has it like mixed in there, as I mentioned before. He says, the sole object of all the trials mentioned in Scripture is to teach man what he ought to do or believe, so that the event which forms the actual trial is not the end desired. It is but an example for our instruction and guidance. Hence the words, to know whether you love. It does not mean that God desires to know whether they loved God, for he already knows it. But ladas, to know, here is the same meaning as ladas, ki ani er Hashem mekadishchem. So ladas doesn't mean that God wants to know, but ladas means to make known. So the Rambam shows that ladas is used in the Torah many times, means to demonstrate. Okay? So he says like this. He says the same thing where it says in the Torah, Rambam holds all the Nesiyonos the same. If a man should arise, pretend to be a prophet, and show you his signs by which he desired to convince you that his words are true, know that God intends thereby to prove to the nations how firmly you believe in the truth of God's word, and how well you have comprehended the true essence of God, that you cannot be misled by any tempter to corrupt your faith in God. Your religion will then afford a guidance to all who seek the truth, and of all religions, man will choose that which is so firmly established that it is not shaken by the performance of a miracle. For a miracle cannot prove that which is impossible. It is only useful as a confirmation of that which is possible, as we have already explained in Mishnah Torah. Okay, that's the Rambam's principle of how Nisim work, what the role of Nisim. Fine. So, therefore, he says, having shown that the term to know, so according to the Rambam, you can't say the pshat in the pasuk is that God allows a false prophet to arise, and that his miracles, he should be successful with his miracles in order to test people. That's according to the Rambam, what does that mean? What kind of meaning does it have to test people? The road to perfection doesn't require anything external being imposed upon them. So he says the purpose of the false prophet is to demonstrate to others, ladas ayishchem, to demonstrate to others the extent of your love of God. So if your love of God is based upon knowledge, so then you can't follow the false prophet. Because even if all his miracles are correct, but he's telling you something that's logically impossible. And that which is logically impossible has to be untrue, and therefore, no matter how tempting it might be from external evidence to assume that what this person is saying is true, if you really love God, which means if your love of God is based upon knowledge, you have to turn away from it. You see? The whole concept of the Nisoyon by the false prophet is to see whether your love of God is based upon knowledge or whether it's just an emotional thing. If it's an emotional thing, so this person does miracles, well, the people are going to follow him, the left throngs of people, their primitive emotions are aroused and they're going to follow him. But if your love of God is not on the primitive level, but it's on a level of knowledge, you really understand the idea of God and you have a knowledge of God, then no miracles, whatever, can ever make a person change his mind, because he knows that this is the reality, and that's it. Whatever happens, he can't explain it. I can't explain it. Just because you can't explain something doesn't mean you assume a crazy idea, an idea that doesn't make any sense. So the extent of Avas Hashem is to see the nature of a person's emunah. If his emunah is based on chokhmah, he can't be moved. If it's not based on chokhmah, he's going to be moved. No. So the Rambam. I'm sorry. The Rambam says, so what's the purpose? Why should God do such a thing? What's the purpose of it? So the Rambam says, to demonstrate to the nations, to demonstrate to others the concept of true Avas Hashem, that no matter what kind of miracles are performed, these people will not be moved from there. Will not be, yeah, like Sadi Gaon, like Sadi Gaon. Like Sadi Gaon says, to demonstrate to others, right. Exactly. To demonstrate. Yeah, that's right. So therefore, he says, God brings about this event in order to demonstrate to others the nature of the true belief, which is a belief based on Chochmah and cannot be swayed by any primitive kind of emotions. That's the concept of the Navi Shem. Right, exactly. Yes. The same thing with the Mon. He says the same thing with the Mon. He says, in the same sense it was said when the Mon commenced to come down, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. That is, let everyone who desires try and see whether it is useful and sufficient to devote himself to the service of God. In other words, to demonstrate to those, Vayom Talon Vayivash, by the Mon. So it was a demonstration. It was what the Nisayon was really not brought. In other words, the Nisayon with the Mon wasn't given to the people in order to test them, because God knows the extent of their faith. There's no reason to test them. It's nonsensical, the idea of a test. But what was the purpose of the Nisayon by the Mon? It was to demonstrate, to show that if a person follows Mitzvot Hashem, that he is rewarded. And if he deviates from Mitzvot Hashem, he finds that he loses. He's going to lose. You see, it would be a total loss for him. That was the purpose of the according to the Rambam, every Nisayon is to be understood in that way, not as a test for the individual, but as a demonstration. The same thing with Avraham Avinu. Same thing says Avraham Avinu. The account of Abraham, our father, binding his son includes two great ideas or principles of our faith. First, it shows us the extent and limit of the fear of God. Abraham is commanded to perform a certain act, which is not equaled by any surrender of property or by any sacrifice of life, for it surpasses everything that can be done and belongs to the class of actions which are believed to be contrary to human feelings. He had been without a child and had been longing for a child. He had great riches and was expecting that a nation should spring from his seed. After all hope of a son had already been given up, a son was born to him. How great must have been his delight in the child. How intensely must he have loved him. And yet, because he feared God and loved to do what God commanded, he thought little of that beloved child and set aside all his hopes concerning him and consented to kill him after a journey of 3 days. And Ram says an interesting thing. He says, if the act by which he showed his readiness to kill his son had taken place immediately when he received the commandment, it might have been the result of confusion and not of consideration. But the fact that he performed it 3 days after he had received the commandment proves the presence of thought, proper consideration, and careful examination of what is due to the divine command and what is in accordance with the love and fear of God. There is no necessity to look for the presence of any other idea or of anything that might have affected his emotions. For Abraham did not hasten to kill Isaac out of fear that God might slay him or make him poor, but solely because it is man's duty to love and to fear God, even without hope of reward or fear of punishment. We have repeatedly explained this. The angel therefore says to him, for now I know, that is, from this action for which you deserve to be truly called a God-fearing man, all people shall learn how far we must go in the fear of God. He says, "Ata yedati kireil akim ata." The locha sachtas bincha sichidecha. It sounds like a little bit like the pasuk is he's stretching the pshat in the pasuk. But the malach says, "Ata yedati kireil akim ata." The locha sachtas. What do you mean, "Ata yedati"? The Rambam says it doesn't mean "Ata yedati," but it means that it means now it will be known. It will be known. You want to know an interesting thing? Rashi says the same shot. Very interesting. Rashi says, Perkel Bezid Bez. Rashi says, Ki Ata Yadati. He says, Me Ata Yeshli Malahoshiv Lesatan Ulaumos Hamatmihim. Mahichi Bossi Etlecho. Yeshli Pishon Peachshav. Sheroim Ki Reel Kimata. Okay? But Rashi translates the exact same way. But it means Ati Adati doesn't mean now I know. It means Ati Adati, now it's Mucha. Now I can answer, I can, why you are special and over the other nations. So according to the that's what they're answering. So that's one principle to be derived from Avraham Avinu. And then he says the second purpose is to show an interesting thing. He says is to show how the prophets believed in the truth of that which came to them from God by way of inspiration. He says, "We shall not think that what the prophets heard or saw and allegorical figures may at times have included incorrect or doubtful elements, since the divine communication was made to them, as we have shown, in a dream or a vision, and through the imaginative faculty." But the Rambam explains, he says, another concept that's been derived from the Nisayon of Avraham Avinu is that you see from this that when a Navi received the Nevuah, there was no doubt to him as to its truth. Just as he says later, just as a person doesn't doubt something which he sees through his senses. Exact same sense of conviction. There was no doubt in his mind. So you see how he was willing to sacrifice his son because of the Nevuah. So what is the Rambam saying according to this? It shows you that Nevuah is perceived by the Navi just like the world of sense perception is perceived by us. It's the same exact certitude. He is not doubtful about it. It's not like a dream that people imagine. It's a dream. Who knows what kind of people have an idea about prophecy that it, but they don't know what it is, so they think it's a what? No, it's not a test. It's a demonstration. Oh, so what is the test? Right, very good. Good question. So now the question arises. The Rambam says he's going to remove all difficulties. He's removing all the difficulties, and there's no problem. But the problems that he raised, he doesn't answer, which is, where is the test? According to the Rambam, there is no test whatsoever. So what's the answer? And the Rambam, now, if you listen to the Rambam, the way he starts off, the way I just read to you, he says, that you see that it shows us. He says Abraham is performed. First of all, he didn't have a child. He longed for a child, and then he finally gave up hope. Then he finally received the child, and then he loved that child so much. And now he's willing to sacrifice that child because of God's divine command. So it would seem that this is a difficult thing. He's building up the case now that. So I don't understand. Is it a test or is it not a test according to the Rambam? What's the answer? That's a good question. Right. He's also still suffering. You're right. He's still suffering. Very good. That's right. True. Yes. Very good. Good question. We have two questions, in other words, on the Rambam Shita. One question is the Rambam himself starts off with the concept that an historian must be a test. And we said that's why he rejects the Ramban's Pshat, because it's not a test. But now, according to the Rambam himself, it's not a test. Moreover, the second question which is raised is the Rambam says there's no Yisurin without the Chait. So how could there be Yisurin over here? He's going through these difficulties, he's going through pain, and there's no Yisurin without Chait. And the Rambam says that the answer takes care of all difficulties. Exactly. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. No, 1 second. One up. You're right. The answer, the idea of Nisoyon, according to the Rambam, means it's a Nisoyon on the part of the observer. To the observer, it's a Nisoyon. Not to the.
You see?
Yeah. What? The according to the Rambam, see, the Rambam is saying the whole concept of an Nisoyon. The whole concept of an Nisoyon is in order to demonstrate, the demonstration. What the Rambam means is that every person who reads this story, it's a Nisoyon. The concept of Nisoyon means it's not a test with regard to the person that's going through it. God knew that Avraham Avinu can go through it, no problem. But that's why the Rambam explains this, that a child was born to this person after he gave up already, and he knew he was going to be maimed a whole nation, and he was so happy about that, and now he has to give it all up. The great difficulties, these difficulties are difficulties on the part of whom? The part of the observer. Exactly. Part of the observer. This, well, Akim Nisos Avraham, it doesn't mean Nisos Avraham was a test to Avraham. That's what the Rambam explains. Not a test to Avraham at all. Excuse me? But the definition of Nisoyon means the Nisoyon is anyone that reads that story. That's a Nisoyon. It's a Nisoyon. The Nisoyon, it's strictly in terms of the observer. That's the way the Rambam understands it. Strictly in terms of the observer. He didn't go through any test at all. Now, according to the Rambam, According to the Rambam, it's purely in terms of the observer. Nisayon means an event that most people would have difficulty, would probably fail, would have very great difficulty being successful in at. And that's why it's defined as an aside. Is there pain for the tzaddik during the test? That's a good question. It would seem to me from the Midrashim, by the way, the Midrashim, it's interesting, but the Midrashim seem to go, their Midrashim either way. Because there's a Midrash that seems to say like the Ramban. The Midrash says that God only, in the Sion, the Midrash seems to say that God only does the Sion of Tzadikim, and the Midrash says it's like a pishtani. The person has flax, the good flax, he bangs it very hard. And then he says, so it would seem to be like the Ramban, that there is some perfection attained for the person. There's other Midrashim, like the Chazal, just Rashi quotes, that seem to agree with the Rambam. It's an interesting thing. But at any rate, that's the Rambam's concept. Now the other question that was asked was, what about the fact that does he go through pain? I have one raya that would seem to be, Midrashim, you know what I mean? Midrashim, it's hard to bring as evidence. Like the Rambam says, Ramban or Rishonim, it's hard to understand the Midrash, because a Midrash is not to be taken literally. It's only for a person that's on the level of Chazal, that they knew how to convey. We don't know how to unravel a Midrash. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. But we don't know the method. So therefore, a medrash is something which you don't really know. But a pasuk, you have to. By the way, according to the Rambam, why does Rambam mention the 3 days? He says because 3 days to show that what is the way to serve God? Through das, not through emotion. That's what he means to say. If Avraham Avinu would have responded immediately, then you could have said. Now, why did he do it? He just received the tzivui and a voice, so he went and he did it. But 3 days later, the effect of the Mari Nevuah would be removed after 3 days. And therefore, you see that he did it completely because of his das and his chokhma. And that is the way to serve God. That's why Avram was the one, because Avram Vino was the one who actually, through his das, threw over all the primitive type of worship. And he was the one to demonstrate that even in Tzivui Hashem, the proper method of executing the Tzivui Hashem is through a person's das, through his mind, through his intellect. That's why the Rambam mentions that's why it was important that it was 3 days later. If it wasn't 3 days later, a person would automatically think it's an emotional response to receiving the Tzivui. Of course, God just told me I have to do it. What would an average person do? No question about it. He'd do it immediately. I don't have any doubt about it. He'd be so overwhelmed by the Mari Nevuah, he'd do it right away. But he wouldn't even perceive the difficulty. Wouldn't even perceive, because he'd be overcome by the nace. But you see, 3 days, after 3 days, the emotions wear off. You see, another case, the emotions wear off after 3 days. Interesting, same thing, 3 days. Because it says, after the Nisim on Yamsuf, Vayelchu Shloshes Yomim, Bamidbar V'lo Motzei Mayim. So they went 3 days after the unbelievable miracles in Yamsuf. The Gemara says, it was amazing, to see those miracles, the psukim itself. But you see, after 3 days, that was it. They immediately started Morris. They started complaining. So Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the Torah, Krisa Torah. That's what the Rav said. So the Rav said, why? Because miracles wear off. A few days, you see a miracle, you get excited, but then afterwards, it doesn't have any effect. But Torah is the only thing. Knowledge is the only thing that doesn't wear off. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said they can't go 3 days without learning. It was a fucking piece of Torah on Shabbos and on Monday and Thursday. So you see, after a few days, it's interesting, it happens to be 3 days in both cases, that after a few days, the effect of any emotional effect wears off. So that's the concept. That's the way the Rambam understands the science. Now, the question is, did he suffer pain? See, to me it seems yes. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Kachno es binchos yechidcho asher ahavto es yitcho. So Chazal say, why didn't God say, and it's a Pasuk, why didn't God say, Kachno es yitcho? What is bincho yechidcho asher ahavto es yitcho? See, you have the same thing by Lech Lecha. But by Lech Lecha, you could say that it's to demonstrate to others. You could say, as binchos yechidcho asher haftos yitzchok is really for the reader. It's for the reader. You could say, just like lech lecho me'atzecho mimoladetcho mbeis hazichcho. But Chazal say, lipin scharako okol dibo v'dibo. It would seem from Chazal that Lieben Schar Kol, well, you could interpret it the other way too, but you could say Lieben Schar Kol Lieben Dibur means for the reader, but it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem. The pshat seems to be, the plain pshat seems to be, Rashi says it, it's a Chazal, it's not a Medrash, but the plain pshat seems to be what's Avram, that he received schar for every emotional, every time he went through an emotional pain. Bincha, there was, he was moving a little, he asked his son, he was moving closer, and every time he received this schar for it. The question then is going to be again, how could God give a schar to a person? Why should God give a schar? To give him pain, to give him schar. You see? To give him schar. That's a difficult thing. It would seem from there that there was, that it was a painful situation for Avram. But I would say this. That it's hard to deny that it was painful. But the point is, the Rambam's objection to pain was a different one. Objection to pain was that it would be an imperfection on the part of the Creator to say that he creates a being who needs pain in order to perfect it. See? That would be a chesaron. And we can't, and God is above all defects. Kelo Emunah v'ein Avel, there's no defect in God. So therefore, it would be improper to say, it would be false for a person to say such an idea that God created man and needs pain in order to perfect himself. But if a person is in a situation where he could be an instrument of demonstrating to the world the true ideas of God, then it is appropriate that he go through pain in order to bring about a desired result. You see? It is a demonstration. Because, see, even though, in other words, like this, for the person who reads the case of the Nisayon, it would be an unbelievably painful thing. That's how the Rambam describes it. It would be impossible for the person to even imagine such a thing, because a person who reads it is not on that level. But you cannot say that Avram did not go through any pain in the incident. But the question is, so if that's the case, that Avram's kasha comes back, how did God give pain in order to perfect him?
Absolutely.
The answer is, it's not a defect in the Creator if it's necessary for a certain individual to go through pain in order to demonstrate to the world Avas Hashem. Is that, you understand what I'm saying? The reason why the Rambam rejected the idea of pain is because to say that God created man in a way, that's right, there's no pain without chet, but that does not mean, in Yisrael L'chet, does not mean to say in a normal way. But it doesn't mean that a person can, doesn't mean to say that a person can't be in a certain situation where he has the opportunity to be the instrument of demonstrating God's, demonstrating the veracity of God's existence, and therefore he can't go through, he will not go through pain. That's not true. See, because it's possible for a person to have to go through pain in order to be an example. In order to be an example for others. That's not an imperfection on the part of the Creator. It has nothing to do with the way God naturally created a person. You understand what I'm saying? So that is not an imperfection. Okay. Yeah, but one second. When Chazal say, Ein Yisurim Belo Chet, you have to understand what it means. Ein Yisurim Belo Chet means to say, it's not referring to an extraordinary circumstance. It means that God and the way he works in his system does not create a defective system. Because God is perfect, and therefore he doesn't create a defective system. So therefore, Ein Yisurim Belo Chet. Because he doesn't create man in a way that he needs Yisurim to perfect himself. That would be an imperfection that God should make such a creature as born to suffer. That would be imperfection. But it doesn't mean to say that a certain individual who's endowed with Avas Hashem and who is willing to go through, I mean, Avraham Avinu went through a lot of tzaras, a lot of pain also. Avas Hashem, I mean, to take the people, Machnas Orach, spend time with them. But that's part of the Chayei Adam, that a person goes through, is willing, a person has Avas Hashem, to him, he's happy to do this, because this is part of his natural relationship to God. So a person who has Avas Hashem, it's something that he himself is willing, it would be willing to do. That's part of his Avas Hashem. That is not an imperfection of Ein Yisurim Belo Chet. That's, you understand what I mean? That's exactly in line with the role of, that's what Rambam says, it should have been this, it's right, he says, that this was brought about through Avraham Avinu, who was the Ohev Hashem. You see, that's not a chassan, it's not a defect in the Creator to say that an individual who is a perfected individual who engages in avodas Hashem should go through some pain in order to demonstrate he wants to do that. That's his whole life. It's in line with his whole life. It's not a pain that's created as a defect in the system. You understand what I'm saying? On the contrary, this is the man's life, and it's right that he's happy to do this. It's true, it's a painful thing, but it's not because of an imperfection in the Creator that it creates a system which was an inherent defect. This is a certain situation which arose, and it was necessary that this should be done. And the one who was given the opportunity to do it was one whose desire was exactly to do such a thing, and that's his whole life was in line with it. So this is not an imperfection on the part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Understand? It's something which is necessary. An imperfection means, in terms of the system, the Rambam couldn't tolerate the idea that man needs pain. That would be an imperfection to make a creature that has to suffer. That would be an imperfection. But a situation in which is necessary for a certain tzaddik to go through a pain and a type of a painful situation, but it's a painful situation which he himself would willingly do and is engaged in all his life. This is not a chassan on the part of the Creator. That's the way that has to be done. It's something which has to be done.